Good afternoon, everyone. I am here representing the Council on Linkages Between Academia and Public Health Practice, and I'm pleased to do that. And I need to start by telling you I have no personal financial relationships to disclose, comply with the APHA rules. But really what I'm here to do today is to explore with you a little bit the concept of the academic health department in a session that's looking at Indian health. And I think one of the things we'll be doing is trying to see whether that concept might be of use when dealing with this particular issue. The Council on Linkages Between Academia and Public Health Practice has been in existence for a little over 20 years now. And as the name implies, I think it's fair to say that the Council has had a strong interest in finding ways to link health departments with academic institutions. And in many ways, we're responding to the findings of the 1988 Institute of Medicine report on the future of public health. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the basics of that report, and one of the major complaints they had there was that health departments were largely cut off from their academic bases. And so one of the roles the Council has taken upon itself is to see what might be done to strengthen those linkages. And, of course, health departments linked with health professions, schools, is one way to do that. So when we talk about what an academic health department is, what it's come to mean to us is that it's some kind of relationship or affiliation between a local or a state health department and some academic institution, usually one that is providing or teaching students related to health professions in one way or another. But there are some unusual ones. A law school, for example, could be involved in this. An engineering school could as well when we're dealing with the social determinants of health. So think of it in very broad terms. And it's particularly important since many health departments located in rural areas find it difficult to link with traditional academic institutions. My clinical colleagues sometimes have trouble understanding what this is, so what I tell them is it's public health's version of the teaching hospital. It's the place where public health students go to get practice experience, just like medical students, nursing students, other health profession students often go to hospitals for that kind of experience. And really, what we're talking about here is some mechanism of collaboration between these two entities in ways that they hope, and we hope, will end up enhancing training, research, and service related to public health. And, of course, doing so does strengthen these linkages that we're talking about. So we've spent some time looking at academic health departments and collected some information, although I must tell you that the information available is still fairly sparse. There was an edition, a themed edition of the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice in May of this year. It was the third, actually, themed edition from that journal focusing on academic health departments, and that's one place to go if you want some of the background for this topic. But because we want to keep it very broad while we explore this, we're saying really any relationship between a health department and an academic institution is one that should be of interest. Sometimes there is a formal written partnership agreement. That's becoming increasingly common so that the groups agree on what it is they wish to do, what the relevant responsibilities are of each, and they do that in formal terms. Certainly, it usually starts as some sort of collaboration to foster public health education or training. That is, an academic institution needs a place to send its students to have some practice or community experience, and they tend to reach out first to a variety of groups in the community, including local health departments. Once you get students involved, but it's not uncommon then to find that the faculty comes with them and the faculty and the practitioners begin to work together and may find a joint research project that evolves out of that, which begins to solidify the relationship a little bit more. Sometimes it goes the other way, where the health department reaches out to the academic institution in order to get some help perhaps to provide clinical services, might need obstetricians and gynecologists, for example, to staff a prenatal clinic, or a pediatrician to staff a well-child clinic. And that kind of relationship then also begins to build the connections. Sometimes it actually gets to the point where they share personnel. That is, a person may work part-time in one institution, the rest of their FTE in another institution, with the sense that it brings the educators closer to practice, makes practice more relevant, and it also helps the practitioners stay current, I guess, is perhaps the best way to put it, to link with the academic institution. Resources get shared back and forth, and sometimes we actually are able to reach out and pay people for services that they provide. So, why do all this? Well, when we ask people what they've gotten out of these relationships, these are the kinds of things they tell us. They say, first, they're able to address community health needs more effectively. Now, I'll tell you, we don't have a whole lot of hard evidence that this is true, although we do have some. We have a lot of anecdotal evidence, and there are some research projects going on now that I hope will give us a bit more evidence about whether this relationship actually makes a difference. But certainly it is an opportunity to build and use practice-based evidence. My colleague, Dr. Paul Irwin, says if we want more evidence-based practice, we're going to need more practice-based evidence, and this is one way to get it. Often, these institutions are publicly funded, and I think there's a sense that when they come together, the public gets a bigger bang for the buck, that the resources are perhaps more efficiently and better used. And certainly students who have an experience in a practice setting are much more likely to be better prepared for actually moving as employees into that kind of a setting. Many health departments we've talked to say they love having students there because it gives them a first pass at them. That is, they know who's doing well and who isn't. And when they have vacancies, they often then know which students they really want to recruit heavily. So having the opportunity to work with them ahead of time is very helpful. Clearly for the practitioners involved, when you have students asking questions, it's a really strong stimulus to stay up to date in your profession and be able to say more than "I don't know" when they keep asking all those embarrassing questions. Certainly for students who spend time in a public health setting, they learn more, know more about what public health is, and the potential that they would actually choose public health as a career is enhanced. Of course, now with the new accreditation standards, having students involved, having an academic connection helps in meeting those accreditation standards. And folks tell us they think it really does help them actually improve both their system and the community's health. How can you actually help these things develop? Those are two very different cultures, right? Academic culture and practice culture, very different, driven by very different time frames, expectations, funding sources. And it's common to find a fair amount of miscommunication. So the successful ones tell us they really learn how to speak very frankly about their needs and to agree to help each other meet the needs in the other's institution, which means they have to develop an understanding and a respect for the different cultural elements that are involved in this, and learn to moderate their own behavior to fit the cultural patterns required in the other institution, whichever it may be. Usually these relationships start off somewhat informally, maybe with students and faculty and so on, getting together with practitioners, and they begin to see opportunities to do other things. But in order to move their own organization along, they really need to develop a champion in each setting. It's really very important, I think. We've seen certainly some examples where there hasn't been a champion, but it's been very difficult for these agencies to move ahead. By that I mean you need to have somebody in the academic setting who really wants to have a relationship with a local or state health department and who understands that academic setting and can move move that setting to actually embrace this relationship, and vice versa. You need the same sort of thing in the practice setting, where the practitioners are often somewhat wary of those pointy-headed academics and want to have little to do with them, and you need to help them understand the value of the relationships and the kinds of skills and opportunities that come with it. Certainly, you need leadership in each, and you need staff support in each. Without that, there are too many ways that these kinds of relationships can be undermined. That means a mutual buy-in. And perhaps above all, you need time and you need patience. As you work through these distinctions, figure out what the elements are in each of your environments that are important, and you move ahead. And clearly, once you begin working actively together, each institution, the academic and the practice side, need to share both the benefits and the responsibilities and the risks, I would add. If it's all one-sided, the partnership is unlikely to last very long. Now, one thing we've done to try to help support this effort is to create, through the Council on Linkages, an academic health department learning community, as we call it, which is a national community of professionals that are focused on understanding this concept of academic health departments, developing it, nourishing it, maintaining it, and expanding it. Now we have over 370 members, 375, Kathleen, was your last count, more or less? Kathleen Amos, by the way, sitting back here, is from the Public Health Foundation. She's a major staff person for the Academic Health Department Learning Community at the Public Health Foundation, which, of course, provides the staff in support of the Council on Linkages. We have a combination of practitioners and educators and researchers. We have some who operate in two or three different settings and many who are basically practitioners or academics, but they're all pretty much working in one form of public health or another. And so the whole idea of the learning community is to facilitate a shared exploration of what this concept is to better understand it and move ahead. So we meet generally 3 to 4 times a year virtually. We come together to discuss issues that are relevant to the formation, development, and expansion of academic health departments. We provide resources for people to use. We have examples of formal agreements between these kinds of institutions. We have a number of people who are willing to act as mentors, because we are currently also developing now a mentorship program within the learning community. So we are doing our best to try to link people with questions or concerns with those who have experience and maybe even some answers to help people do that. So we invite you all to join. All you need to do is send an email to Kathleen, which is just kamos, K-A-M-O-S, at phf.org. Kathleen will make you a member, and you'll get on our listserv, and you'll get regular communications from us and the opportunity to join us in a number of ways.